Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Hi, this is Matt Cardinal, host of Game On, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for 37-year-old Watson Jones. He is considered a lost, injured, and missing male who disappeared from St. Petersburg, Florida, December 5th, 1991. His height is 5'8", he weighs 145 pounds, he has brown eyes, black hair, and he is biracial. He's African American and Caucasian. Watson has a scar on the left side of his face and walks with a limp. If you know of Watson Jones' whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's Hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. The actual number for that is 1-800-843-5678. To see a picture of Watson, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to OurFutureIsMissing.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
This is America Today on the Voice America Kids channel. Each week we discuss what's going on in news and politics. Now, here is the host of America Today.
Hi, welcome to America Today on Voice America Kids Network and Kidstar Radio. I'm your host, Mackenzie Urias, and we are live from the Microsoft Store in Scottsdale, Arizona. So right now, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about post-election news. And after that, going to talk a little bit about the new technology that's coming out in the Microsoft stores right now, which I'm right in front of, so it'll be really exciting. So, in case you haven't heard, Mitt Romney did not win the the presidency. I don't know if you know that or not, but hopefully you did if you watched my last segment. Anyways, so it's been really interesting to see the backlash that's happened with, you know, this whole presidential election. Whereas I think 4 years ago, whenever I was looking at, you know, the McCain-Obama election, it was more of, it seemed like the country wasn't as divided 50-50. Whereas in this election, I really do think that, you know, It seems like Obama didn't win by so much when you look at the popular votes. When you look at the electoral votes, I mean, he won by, well, I think it was 100 electoral votes, but still, it seemed like it divided the country a lot. And I saw that especially whenever I was recording at the GOP convention, that it really felt like it was 50-50. And so I feel like what President Obama is going to have to do in his next 4 years is really deal with, you know, half the country sort of being, you know, it's really severe. It's almost like they're ashamed. I wouldn't say that for all of, you know, Republicans, but I would say that there's definitely a very strong division either way, especially when you look at, you know, these social media networks. You look at, because I'm on Facebook right now, I'm just scrolling through my page, and it's like, you know, over a week later, and I still see people talking about the election and talking about, you know, how America is doomed or America is saved thanks to Obama, and, you know, very, very strong opinions. And I feel like 4 years ago, it didn't feel this tense so far out from the election, and especially from the candidates themselves. For example, and you know, this might just be because I was a little bit younger then, but I feel like there's a little bit more drama from both of the candidates. You know, after a week, people didn't really hear that much from McCain other than, you know, he ran a good race, and it's going to be difficult, but we still have the majority in Congress and what have you. But for Mitt Romney, it seems like that there's a little bit more tension. And when you look at both of the stories that the media is covering, from Obama and from Mitt Romney, they're sort of making it seem like Mitt Romney is really bitter about it, and Obama is sort of saying like, oh, good run, good race. I think we should be aware that, you know, it is the media that's covering this. So of course they're going to twist it and make it look only, you know, publish a couple stories, make Mitt Romney look like this, make Obama look like this. But still, one of the things that kind of, and I don't know if I should say it bothered me, but Mitt Romney was talking about his loss of the presidential election, and he blamed his loss on Obama's quote-unquote gifts that he gave to his voters, specifically with his Hispanic and African-American voters and also young voters. And so there's an audio recording that you can look up online, and just, you can feel, I'm sure people are easily offended by it because, you know, I'm not going to lie, when I first read what was happening with this story, I was kind of a little bit offended by this too, but I think Mitt Romney is a little bit smarter than this, but I'm going to go ahead and read this story to you guys anyway. So, Mitt Romney, of course, was talking about how he lost the presidential campaign thanks to Obama's gifts with his young voters, his Hispanic voters, and African American voters. And he talks about specifically why each of these groups of voters caused Mitt Romney to lose. And so he quote unquote says that that Barack Obama used special interest groups, especially the African American community and the Hispanic community. In each case, they were very generous in what they gave to those groups, Mitt Romney said, talking about issues for the whole country, military strategy, foreign policy, a strong economy and creating jobs and so forth, unquote, is what Mitt Romney talked about. And so it seems like Mitt Romney was saying there that Obama didn't really talk about any of the issues that he just promised all of these gifts to his voters that, interestingly enough, will probably make up the majority in the next election because there's enough statistical evidence to support that in the next election in 4 years that minorities will actually be the majority and the white voters are going to be the minorities, quote unquote. This is interesting because it's typically looked at that Republicans get, you know, the higher class, the white voters, and Democrats are associated with getting minority votes. And so what this might cause stagnancy between Congress and the Senate and the White House if everything's going to stay the same just like it did with this election, because we saw no transition of power. But I'll talk about that later. So right now, he was saying he brought up specifically the gifts, and so he was talking about how the young voters are going to get free health care and that they were going to get their college debts paid off, basically. Now, although I think that's a little bit of a hyperbole, but anyways, he was saying that the student loan forgiveness from colleges that Obama gave to voters certainly influenced them to vote for him. And also talking about specifically because when Maddie and Caleb and I talked about the hot issues in the election, women were a pretty big voting class. And so he was saying that Mitt Romney said that women voters voted for Obama because of free contraceptives. I don't know what that means, because the way that he worded it is kind of comical. It almost seems like that Obama just gave free contraceptives to, you know, Planned Parenthood, of course, among college women. And so that was another gift that Mitt Romney talked about. One of the other gifts was that the health care, which was also a huge issue in this election. Apparently the health care was a huge plus to the Hispanics. And this is the part where it gets kind of tense, and it's hard to interpret this at first. And I'll read just verbatim right now. So Mitt Romney said, quote unquote, "You can imagine for somebody making $25,000 or $30,000 or $35,000 a year, being told you're now going to get free health care, particularly if you don't have it, getting free health care worth, what, $10,000 per family in perpetuity? I mean, this is huge. Likewise, with Hispanic voters, free health care was a big plus. But in addition, with regards to Hispanic voters, the amnesty for children of illegals, the so-called DREAM Act kids, was a huge plus voting for that group. So when I first read this, the way that it sounded like was, it's very hard to interpret it without sounding a little bit tense, for lack of a word that's a little bit more polite. So it sounded like it was a generalization among a specific race. That's not always the safest thing to do, because it can make you sound racist. And I'm sure a ton of people took that in a very racist way. And it didn't make him sound too good when he talks about how Hispanic voters, making the generalization about illegals and about free health care, really, really makes it sound like he's, you know, if I wanted to bring up another 47% joke, it kind of makes him sound more of that guy. So that's kind of hurting his public image a little bit. This story is absolutely huge, by the way. Everywhere, even, you know, from left-wing to right-wing sites everywhere, they're publishing this, and they're not really trying to make him sound good at all. And I think this might be, you know, more of the division kind of thing. I'm sure that the media is, you know, making this whole 50-50 division thing, kind of stretching it out a little bit more, because it does make good news. You know, I think 4 years ago, I keep bringing up 4 years ago because I'm not that old, so I don't remember 8 years ago that much. But I remember 4 years ago, I don't think it felt this tense before, and I think that it's good for the media for there to feel like there's a huge division between Republicans and Democrats right now in America, and for people to, you know, be at each other's throats. And it's particularly interesting if you have both Governor Romney and President Obama at each other's throats. Certainly makes for interesting news stories, and I think that's why this story about Mitt Romney is circulating right now. It's easy to make him seem like a bad guy with this, and I'm not going to lie, when I first read this, there's a lot of things that you can do to make this sound offensive, but I'm trying to be as, you know, unbiased as I possibly can be when I'm reading this, and I know what he's trying to say. The way that he worded it made it easy for people to point it out and to call him out as a, you know, as a bad guy. But what he's really trying to say is that people were coerced by President Obama's, you know, promises of health care and, you know, the contraceptives part of the health care, and just college loans and everything. And so that, those material things, I guess you could say, got in the way of what Mitt Romney called the more important issues about, you know, their foreign policies and their military spending budgets and so on and so forth. And I would definitely say that that's not true whenever you look at both or all three of the presidential debates, although the third one was a lot more on foreign policies. But you could definitely see that both candidates equally cared about all of them, or at least they were made to seem like they cared about all of them. And so it's just, to me, it's just not very good wording on Mitt Romney's part. And like I said, it makes him seem like he's kind of a bad guy, which I don't know that for sure. But so he talks about his fundraising group, the one that ultimately didn't, you know, land him in the Oval Office. He wants them to stay connected so that way they can stay informed and that they can control the party a little bit more. And he also announced that he's not going to be running in 4 years. So if you were hoping for Mitt Romney to run again, That's definitely not going to happen. Interestingly enough, I heard that Paul Ryan was the number one favored Republican to run in 2016. And I don't know if I believe that, because Paul Ryan is so young and he did not make himself sound very good at the last VP debate. But we'll talk more about that when we get back. We're going to take a little break right now. But stay tuned to Voice America Kids and Kidstar Radio Network.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to America Today on Voice America Kids and Kidstar Radio Network. So I was talking a little bit about the post-election drama that's going on right now, particularly with Mitt Romney, talking about how his, or why he lost, his speech about Obama's gifts, contributing to his loss, and not, you know, any of the hot button issues or anything. Interestingly enough, in the same story that's being published, whenever President Obama was asked about Mitt Romney, President Obama seems to be pretty positive in saying that he ran a good race and he did a good job running the Olympics in London. And that he says that he wants to work with Mitt Romney, quote unquote, not either prejudging what he's interested in doing, nor am I suggesting I've got some specific assignment, but what I want to do is get ideas from him, talking about Mitt Romney, and see if there are some ways that we can potentially work together. So I don't know if that's true or not. I feel like it's more of Obama wanting to look good. And he's certainly doing that. And at the same time, though, whenever I was done reading this story, I wondered, you know, if the media was really projecting this to make it seem like it was that bad. Am I just interpreting the story wrong? But at the same time, you have to look at You know, maybe it's just because it's the week after the election. But it kind of makes Mitt Romney seem like, oh, well, now his true colors are being shown. He's kind of a bully, for lack of a better term. And if I was, you know, being totally biased and I was being kind of mean, I would bring up the joke that people always brought up about Mitt Romney bullying people when he was in high school. But this seems to be just media coverage. And of course, there's a speech verbatim that you can look up, and he does actually say these things. But trying to be as unbiased as possible, I don't know if these are his true opinions that we take for face value, or if he's trying to say something else, because I don't think Mitt Romney's an idiot, even if I am more of a Democrat than a Republican. I don't think he's stupid, and I don't think that he would purposely try to say these things to make himself look bad, but I think that the way that he said these things made it easy for him to look bad, and I think that he should have worded these things a lot better, particularly if he wants his party to appeal to the minority, which he should do, because, you know, in 4 years, the minority is going to become the majority. He's got to learn to appeal to the minorities, and that's what the Republican Party struggled with for, you know, years, is appealing to the minorities. And ultimately, that's what Mitt Romney sort of said caused him to lose. And so saying these things about the Hispanic and the African American voters, or, you know, about the women voters, is doing absolutely nothing for his party, and it's making his party look really, really bad. And just to make this look worse, there's actually a story that's local in Gilbert, Arizona, right where I live. Did you guys hear about this story where a woman ran over her husband with a car because she was angry at him that he didn't vote and that Obama won, and she was kind of blaming him for it? He was in critical condition, and I think he's still in the hospital. This happened just a couple of days ago, and they weren't sure if he was going to live, you know, when the story first broke out. This is absolutely insane, and this is a perfect illustration of just how crazy some people are at this post-election phase right now. People are going absolutely insane, and if you look on your Facebook or whatever kind of social network you have, if you have one, I mean, people are just absolutely crazy. And I remember the day after the election, I saw a lot of pictures that my liberal friends would post and, or, you know, forward, and that my conservative friends would post and forward. Both sides kind of attacking each other really brutally. And it's just, it's absolutely insane, because I swear I don't remember the severity of this happening, you know, ever. Certainly this election, I feel like, was a lot more tense than any election that I've ever been alive for to remember. I think it's because in this election particularly, people feel like they had a lot to lose versus, you know, a couple years ago. I think there was a lot of tension between people who severely disliked Obama and people who supported him, because the people who don't support Obama, it's very hard for a president to run again in an election. And when people, you know, to say that he failed his first 4 years, and particularly with this election, people felt like they lost a lot of hope with Obama. And so with this election, they felt like they were going to lose a lot. I mean, both parties felt like they had a lot at stake for them. Whether you talk about health care, or you talk about, you know, amnesty, or you talk about college, or you talk about foreign policies, although I'm not convinced that the majority necessarily cares about right now. But, you know, it just really goes to show that there's such a division in this country that it's almost terrifying, because, you know, it's a week plus past this thing, and people are still acting crazy over this. They're acting so crazy that actually people are trying to secede from the union. 36 states are already having active petitions with 1,000 plus signers saying that they want to secede from the union, you know, that they want to secede from the United States. And this is because they feel like they have lost a lot from Obama and that they want to start their own government. It's kind of crazy and a little bit ridiculous, especially when you think about, particularly I thought about Arizona, since, you know, that's where I live, and trying to come up with, our state's already in debt and we have a lot of issues going on right now and there's a lot of division, but Arizona has a petition too with, I think it's like 14,000 plus voters trying to get Arizona to secede. And of course this is absolutely ridiculous. It's probably not going to happen. And in fact, Jan Brewer does not support this in any way whatsoever. She says that she has faith in America and that, you know, Arizona is too weak to secede, basically. And whenever I watch this story on the news, I watched an interview with our attorney general, and he was talking about how it's absolutely ridiculous that people would think that Arizona, again, picking on Arizona because I live here, is strong enough to secede from America, because we don't have a lot of financial stability in comparison to, you know, what we had years and years ago, and particularly because we're kind of divided in Arizona, and I don't think that I don't think people understand what would go with a secession, but I'll talk about that a little bit more later, because right now we're going to take a break, but stay tuned. You're listening to America Today on KidStar Radio Network and Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to America Today on Voice America and Kidstar Radio Network. So I was talking to you guys a bit about the post-election drama that's going on right now, and particularly about the secession that's going on right now. People are trying to secede from the union, and I was talking about Arizona specifically because that's where we're broadcasting right now at the Microsoft store in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I already said that more than 14,000 people have signed this petition for Arizona to peacefully secede from the United States and form its own government. So I think this is ridiculous for a couple of reasons. And I think the first reason is that we don't have enough financial stability to be able to form our own government. And I think secondly, we just don't have the military force. And what are we going to do? Come up with our own Arizona military and come up with our own Arizona foreign policies? That's absolutely not going to happen. And I don't think that, you know, even Republican, and of course Republicans are stereotyped for doing this, even the Republican politicians aren't agreeing with this, of course, saying that it's absolutely ridiculous and people are overreacting. However, there was a funny comment that, and I was watching this for the first time on the news, and one of the women who came up with this petition, so to speak, was talking about how in America, whenever the English first came here, apparently we came with nothing and we still formed America, one of the greatest countries. And this is ridiculous for many reasons. And first of all, I think it's historically different from, you know, 400 plus years ago. I think the world has changed a little bit since then. But, you know, beyond that, it's just absolutely ridiculous to say that, you know, we came here with nothing. Historically, there's a lot of fallacies in this argument that people are saying, oh, we'll just form a new government because that's what America did from England. And I think also people forget that there was something called the Revolutionary War that was involved in order for us to break from England. And the fact also that America was supported by the English and that we were taxed by the English, you know, for us to you know, take whatever resources we have and say, oh, well, that's basically nothing, and look at all this stuff we're going to be able to create this. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous for people to believe that. For you to compare the situation that happened between England and America, you know, and I guess you could say 300 years ago versus right now. And it's absolutely ridiculous, and there's no good reason why we should do this. Because you're irritated with, you know, who's running the White House right now? That's absolutely crazy. You know, in 4 years, just, I'm sure that if people are really bummed with Obama's next 4 terms, that Republicans will have a way better shot at getting a president in the White House. And so it's total overreacting on people's parts. But, you know, maybe it's just because I was younger, but I don't remember these stories, you know, for even 8 years ago. The severity is just absolutely crazy. And again, I think it's because people feel like they had a lot to lose from this. But still, it's just, I think people are being incredibly irrational, and it's stayed for so long that it's happening right now is something I absolutely didn't imagine. People are saying that America is doomed to fail. And I think that, of course, people are trying to do this to be dramatic and, you know, saying this because they're angry. And I'm sure people know that they're not being rational. At least I hope people know that they're not being rational right now because, you know, first of all, if you are a Republican and you're upset about the outcome of the election, you guys still have a majority in Congress. And I think a lot of people forget, you know, how the government works. It's not just the president running the whole country. If that was the case, we wouldn't have a republic. But the fact that we have a pseudo democracy, this in between republic democracy situation of checks and balances, it's not just the Democrats who are running the government. And there is plenty of Republican influence in corporations and in Congress. And I think people forget that the president is not the one who makes laws. He's not going to, you know, just start a new law and we all have to follow it. Of course, it has to go through Congress and it has to go through the Senate. That's why we have checks and balances in the first place. And so for people to feel like they're going to suffer because of Obama, it's kind of crazy, because I think people are also forgetting that in January of this year, there was a lot of tension between what Obama was trying to push, the things that he supported, and the tensions between him and Congress. And so I think a lot of people tend to neglect Congress and the Senate. And for the most part, I feel like people don't do enough research or enough care. And so this brings me to a different point than I originally intended, but I think that people need to be more informed voters. And even if you don't want to do, you know, 40 hours of research every 4 years to figure out who are the best people in Congress, I still think people need to recognize that, you know, having a strong presence in Congress and the Senate is really incredibly important. And that also, it's not just, you know, basically, if you look at politicians who are running the country, there's a strong corporate influence in America, and that's because we're capitalists. And so you have to remember people like lobbyists and big, big, big corporations who incidentally also played a huge role in this election. If you remember the huge CEOs emailing all of their employees saying, if Obama loses, then don't blame me for making cuts to you guys, and don't blame me for your job being lost, because I will have to do it because I'm going to have to pay more for your health care and all of this. And I think people forget that. And I know that presidential elections are incredibly important. I know that the president is an incredibly important person that plays in our government, obviously. But I still think people are putting way too much stress on this. Whenever you see all of the tension and all of the anger that's coming from this, you have to realize that just because we have elected a Democrat as president, it doesn't mean that our country is, you know, 100% Democrat and everything that Democrats want, you know, is going to happen, is just going to magically appear and magically be set into place. Whenever you think about corporate influence and you think about, you know, how Congress and the Senate sort of play in with, you know, the legislative branch, you have to remember that it's not just one party wins, unless one party has, you know, strong influence over every type of the government. And that's just, to me, it seems like it's a little bit unfathomable right now. Whenever you think of the minorities becoming majorities, of course, Democrats are typically going to get the minority votes. Also, urban areas are getting more of the Democratic votes. Right now, I don't feel like that there's going to be a huge influence of one party over the other for, you know, 20 years maybe, because right now it's just too divided, and people, it's just too 50-50 for me right now to feel like, you know, in 4 years, or even, you know, what people think right now, that it's just going to be 100%, you know, that it's going to be some sort of monarchy we're creating, you know, by electing a president that's different from your party. And of course, I understand that, you know, if the president was a Republican in 4 years, and then I don't agree with that, of course I would tend to get a little upset at first. But you have to remember that you can't stress out about this. You can't, you know, secede from your government. You can't lose faith in America just because, you know, one party is going to quote-unquote, be in control for 4 years. There's a lot more that goes into government than that. But we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about technology and take a break from all this political tension. Stay right here. You're listening to America Today on Voice America and Kidstar Radio Network.
What's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun, times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood, your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take Two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome to America Today on Voice America and Kidstar Radio Network. I'm your host, Mackenzie, and we were talking about the post-election drama. That talked a little bit about why Romney, what Romney blamed his loss on. Then I talked a little bit about, you know, just people in general kind of obsessing over this and people overreacting about it. And certainly I understand that people get upset if their party doesn't win and if their party doesn't have as strong of a presence in their government as they would like for it to be. And of course, you know, I would certainly be upset if the candidate that I didn't want to win won. And I don't think I have a problem with that, you know, with people getting upset, as much as I have a problem with people being, you know, so incredibly irrational about this. And for, for the first few days when you're still kind of processing your emotions and you're upset, okay, I understand that. We're all human, and so it's not that, you know, you have to... I'm blaming people for getting angry. I'm blaming people for being irrational this long and people overreacting for this long. It's absolutely crazy. You know, of course, this isn't terribly unique in that people feel like, and people always feel like they lose a lot with every election if the things that they don't want to happen, you know, happens. But I just think that, and maybe it's because, you know, that I'm on Facebook more, or just that people have gone to a little bit different or bizarre, you know, measures to try to show their post-election irritability. But I feel like there's so much more drama than I remember there ever being. People wanting to secede from the United States. And like I was saying before, you can't lose faith in your government. You can't lose faith in America just because, you know, if you're a Republican just because Barack Obama was elected president. Of course, it's within your right to feel however you want to feel, and it's within your right to try to act however you want to act. But, you know, at the same time, it's just being a little bit, it's just being a little bit irrational, and people not realizing that how our government works. Basically, I feel like people tend to neglect the checks and balances in our government, and I think that's what a lot of other governments admire about ours. And I think that's what a lot of, you know, if you read, what's interesting is that I used to read a lot of political philosophy around the 17 and early 1800s, specifically from the point of view of foreigners. And even I read de Tocqueville, and he's like the 1700s. And I also read Albert Einstein, who when he came here to America, he was very impressed by our government. I think people from other countries, if they do respect our government, they respect it because there's a checks and balances system, and it seems to work for the most part pretty harmoniously, even if there is this 50-50 tension, even if, you know, people feel like that, you know, the world is coming to an end and that, you know, there's so much tension between Congress and the House and that, you know, nothing gets done, basically. To me, it still seems a little bit better than the checks and balances seems to, at least whenever it fails. It's not, and you know, I'm not a political philosopher or anything, but to me, it seems like that's why people used to have so much faith in our country, is because they felt like there was reassurance in our checks and balances system. And I think people tend to forget their faith in their country whenever something big like this happens, particularly with this election, when they feel like they have lost so much. But I think it's important to remember why we live in this country and why we think it's, you know, as great as it is, and why we're also privileged to live in this country specifically. I think it's just because we do have a pretty good, you know, governmental system, even if we have, you know, this tension between Congress and the Senate, how laws don't get passed or anything. To me, that's so much better than all of the crazy political tensions that you see in other foreign countries. And I think people just need to remember their faith in America in general right now, and just calm down a little bit. So taking a little bit of a break from that, because that's some heavy stuff. We are streaming live from the Microsoft Store in Scottsdale, Arizona. And so I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the technology. And so the Surface is brand new. If you don't know what the Surface is, it's pretty much just a tablet, except for you can connect a keyboard to it, basically. A very nice portable keyboard, and there are two types of keyboards. You know, you have traditional keyboard with buttons, and you have this touchscreen keyboard, which is really cool, and it comes in like like four or five different colors. And it's supposed to be, it's a little bit better than a tablet because I was actually just playing with it a little bit before I went on the show. And it seems to be a little bit graphically better than the tablet, than your standard tablet, I should say. It seems to be a little bit more like a laptop sort of functional than a tablet. So that's really cool. Particularly, I'm thinking if you're, you know, like an early college student, that might be something that'd be really cool to look into. But also talking about Windows 8, the brand new user interface is a lot like the Windows Phone. And so if you have any sort of touchscreen laptop or tablet, this is really great because the live tiles, much more accessible than, you know, your standard clickable icons. And I was playing with it a little bit, and it seems like the tablet and the laptop are shifting a lot towards like phones right now when you think of the iPad and the new iPad mini that's coming out. We all seem to be shifting more towards a phone user interface, and I think that's because laptop companies and just tablet companies in general want to relate to more of the masses, want to relate to people who, you know, if you're looking at laptops or computers, people who are what gamer snobs would say, casual gamers, you know, people who would buy the majority of the technology, who aren't totally into, you know, customizing things, but are just more into a simple interface and just really cool apps. There seems to be more focus towards that than gamers, you know, or tech-savvy people getting into it and being able to customize things. And I think that seems to be a criticism with Windows 8 versus Windows 7, but I particularly like Windows 7 or Windows 8 and Windows 7. But the advantages that Windows 8 has over Windows 7 is that, again, it's a lot more user-friendly, and it's a little bit quicker and more streamlined. And I think I'm a little more excited to go towards Windows 8 and just seeing what this new user interface has versus, you know, the old sort of 90s icons things. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if TV sort of develops like this with live tiles versus, you know, just channeling through. And so I think technology, of course, there's a lot of criticism with people saying that technology appealing to the casual or to the masses because it's so easy and user-friendly. It's not as elegant or as special as other systems, but I kind of like it, and I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, a casual gamer. I do play games a lot. And I don't really see too much of a problem with it, honestly. And I was playing a video game on one of the laptops, and it seemed pretty cool. And a lot of people were saying how Windows 8 would kind of ruin the video game experience. But I think Windows 8 is pretty cool, so you should definitely come by the Microsoft Store and check it out. Well, anyways, that's going to do it for my show. And thank you for joining me. This was America Today on Voice America Kids and Kidstar Radio Network.
Thanks again for being a part of America Today. We'll be back next week with more discussion of the news and politics that are shaping our future on the Voice America Kids channel.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.